great song today for the special music. Thank you so much. When the ladies were singing, I was thinking, you know, in a real sense, we could look at what was sung about Jesus' death and resurrection as the best thing that ever happened to us happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus did that for us. And our life now is trying and trusting that one who did all that. Okay, that would bring the truth home about what God accomplished before we even showed up. Oh, we're very glad about that. Huh? Keep him the center of history and all the things he's accomplishing today and on into the future. Also, I wanted to make a couple extra acknowledgments and announcements. We thank the Lord for visitors from way back, Eric and Cammy Halinski and their daughters. From Chicago, they're living in Chicago, true blue Chicago Bears fans or Steelers, who knows. But we appreciate them, their faith, their life in the Lord. Thank you guys for being here. Could have slept in, but wanted to be with everybody and the Lord. And this week, I think it's the Idlewild for young people, which is kind of it fits their some of their discipleship, you know, paradox, idle and wild. How can you be idle and wild? I don't know. But it'll be a nice time. If you're a young person, go to that, please. That's on a Wednesday. And then also Tuesday, don't forget Revelation Bible study going on. Jump in on that. As Shelley teaches, it's at the Holiday Inn this week. And it'll be a blessing. Romans chapter 7. God shows us the Christian struggle with sin. So there's a battle on the inside going on in our lives if we know Christ. If we don't know Christ, all the momentum in our life is headed in the wrong direction until God intervenes. So we're like on the thunderbolt, okay, going downhill rapidly, and we're saying, oh Lord, only you can help me at this point. So it's a battle and a struggle. The Apostle Paul wrote this in the present tense. All the verbs are in the present tense. So when he wrote it, this is the way he was thinking and feeling. Some really, really good Bible teachers teach that this is some of Paul's pre-conversion experience, but there's nothing in the passage that would suggest that. So we'll just say they're good, but not that good at this point. So the sin being a problem, sin is an inside job. The Apostle Paul felt that required an inside transformation that only God can do. The power of your life, the power of your Christian life is not you. Okay, the power of your Christian life is Christ in you. And this is what's really Paul's expressing in this passage. And our sin is there. It's in our fallen nature. It's a sad and sorry residence that we're going to deal with until we go to heaven. Okay, so there is some conflict, some rough times ahead. There's a lot of evil in the world, and often the evil comes and goes based on what it is, you know. Roams about like a roaring lion, so forth, seeking to devour us. But even if the devil were busy in Las Vegas and all the demons were busy in Mongolia, there would still be great evil that you and I would have to deal with. Okay, it's the sin in our own soul that we know we need God's help in order for that enemy to be conquered. And so that's the resident evil. That's the one we can't get rid of by moving, you know, across the street or into the sanctuary or in my devotional closet. Oh, Christ is within us, but so is that sin problem. Like the law of gravity keeps us from a glorified walk until we get to heaven. So we can know our need, even as strong believers, which the Apostle Paul was. Sin is not our king. It's not our best desire. We desire not to. We desire to love God and obey Him. But sin is like a dormant virus that shows up and unexpectedly. A lot of our folks in the church had shingles as a problem. You know, the chickenpox virus in you a long time, showing itself up, very difficult time. And so that sin nature in us shows itself, unfortunately, on a regular basis. But Christ is king. Sin isn't king. So the sin is not reigning, but the sin is surviving. So we keep that in mind to stay humble and in need of God. Okay, great confession of trust in Christ in this passage, Romans 7. I was listening to two strong Christian guys, happened to be Pastor Jeff Norris and Dr. Paul Holland. He's out of Geneva College, or used to be. And they were talking like, sometimes as a Christian, you feel like you're living in Romans 7. You want to do good, but you can't. You don't. You want to stay away from a wrong, but you go for it. And sometimes you feel like you're in Romans 8, which is the more victorious God overcoming this continuous sin problem. And he's faithful to do it, but we still got the sin surviving thing going on. And it's a serious thing. So Paul, you know, different times he writes about it in his letters. Sin is not a little thing. Charles Spurgeon comments on this. He said, our sin crowned the Savior's head with thorns, pierced his hands and feet, his side, crushed his soul to the extent that he thought, you know, maybe God had even abandoned him. And so he said, Spurgeon said, look at every sin as having crucified your loved one. Okay, you would not want to do that. Okay, in our soul, we would say, oh, Lord, keep me at your side. Help me abide in you. And then he said, you'll see sin as utterly sinful. That's a phrase from Romans 7, to know the utter sinfulness of sin. And Christian sees his sinfulness in direct proportion to seeing the holy nature of God. So we stand next to the Lord and his cross and his law, and we recognize our need. You look at great Christian people, you got the Apostle Paul, you got somebody say like Billy Graham or Mother Teresa, knew a missionary who knew Mother Teresa. He said, oh, she's born again, you know, she really loves the Lord. But you get people like Billy Graham, Mother Teresa, they confess their sin every day. They say, oh, I have this need. I need God's help with this. You know, and it made them stronger to trust Christ. Okay, they lived with a sense of Jesus, keep me near the cross. And God does that for us. If you think you're not real sinful, stand next to Jesus and his holy law. Or perhaps look at the two great commandments. Love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love that neighbor as yourself. And just let God give you the, you know, evaluation. Oh, Christ is who you need. Measure yourself up in regards to the fruit of the Spirit. In the very heart of who you are, you know, do you express and feel love, joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and self-control? Well, then you know, oh, the Lord can supply that where our human nature is missing that. And God's faithful, you know, he'll do that for us. If we don't measure ourselves next to Christ and his word, his law, we'll make up our own measurements and, you know, be condemning of self or others because of it. I saw James McDonald do this the other day. I liked it, so I'm going to use it. He said he had a ruler or a yardstick. He said, who would volunteer to come forward so I can measure you? Okay, to see if you measure up. I'm going to tell everybody your height, your width, your depth, the size of your ears, okay, hair length, and, you know, how's the old biceps doing, you know? Oh, you know, 8 inches, not too good. Whatever the case may be, we would be like, oh, don't even do that. That's a ridiculous way to live, you know, and so on. And we wouldn't do that with each other outwardly, because God doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks on the heart. But standing before Christ, we don't want to do that to one another inwardly. We'll see how you measure up to what I think you should know. Okay. And it being appropriate, it would be not in the heart of God. You invite your brother and sister to the cross as you stand there And you know, oh, the goodness of God is for both of us. You know, we're thankful. So that's the Lord's standards. Here's some Paul's struggle with sin. Again, it was all in the present tense. He said, it is the sin living in me. And he repeated himself, exact same words, verse 20. It is the sin living in me. So there was that inside enemy that he had to know God's help in. And then evil is right there in me, he says in verse 21. Jesus says the same thing in Mark chapter 7. He said, the things that cause us to sin are really not outward. That's not the main cause. They could bring the temptation, you know. It could be harassment and spiritual headache and so on. But it's from within where the sin problem is. Out of the heart, Jesus mentioned the sins of humanity. And murder and thievery and adultery and so forth. So it was an inside problem. God would have to change. And so Paul concludes, what a wretched man I am. I need help. Even as a believer, a strong apostle, I need Christ to rescue me today. Like he rescued me in 30 AD and like he rescued me when I put my trust in him. So it's not automatic. I'm not an automatic salvation. It's an available salvation. So what a wretched man I am. Sometimes you'll feel like that. And that would be a normal thing to feel. And you know Christ could help at that point. There's a YouTube teacher out there. I don't know his name, but somewhat effective. He's a youth pastor, so he's kind of on the wild side. But the program is called Wretched. It's also on Christian broadcasting occasionally. You have to check that out. Wretched, you know. Put Wretched down, YouTube, and see what this fella has to say. He got the phrase from the verse. He's a strong Christian. He's helping others. And he finds strength in Jesus when he recognizes his human nature is wretched. Okay. Title of the program is not about, you know, your buddy or your family member. It's about you, we'll say. Okay. So that's an important one. And then Paul, he says this, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Even the great apostle Paul, he recognized, I'm going to say this because it's important to us, so we surrender to God and not like just say, I'll be a better Christian, so help me, Lord. He recognized the limitations on what? On his own free will. Right? In his own mind, in his own will, he says, I desire to do good. And then he goes, whoa, I end up in a ditch. So we need the Lord's help beyond our will. It wasn't our will that saved us, and it's certainly not going to be our will to help us walk with the Lord. So that sin problem, you know, take it seriously in your soul. Christ is greater. Sin doesn't reign. Jesus reigns. So let him be king from the inside out. And then one good old preacher from Tennessee said this, which I like. Christ in you takes you from being boastful to being broken. Okay. Not relying on ourselves, relying on God and all he could do for us. You know, isn't it great to know that the most confident people in the world are believers who say, my confidence is in God. But that's a confidence you're not going to find any greater source. And people, you know, that's a gift from God. The ability to walk with God and obey him from being boastful to broken. Here's a couple testimonies. These are all in the songs or hymns we sing. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, take and seal it. Seal it for your courts above. Here's this man, he's worshiping God. He's writing down a song just like these dear ladies sang. And right in the middle of the song, he says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. I don't think he sinned in, you know, from the beginning and the end of the hymn. But he was just saying, I need Christ at this moment to rule and reign within. Here's Isaac Watts. I like him. He wrote Joy to the World, the Christmas song. He wrote When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. So again, he's looking at himself next to what Jesus did for him. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. I don't know what riches he was talking about. Maybe it was like, hey, I wrote 700 hymns, you know. Or maybe it was, hey, I know the Bible back and forth and upside down, and I study it intensely hours a day and so on. He would perhaps boast about those things. Instead, you could be thankful. But he says, I kind of but loss just knowing Jesus died for me. And pour contempt on my pride. So I would rather boast in the Lord. He's worthy of honoring in that way. And then the old missionary rabble-rouser, A.B. Simpson. He loved the Lord. He wanted to pass the gospel on. He wrote some songs, you know, and he dealt with a sin problem in his own life. I who so often have grieved God, all to his feet would bring. So he said, I often grieve God, you know. But I want to bring that to his feet, know his forgiveness, know his new way to live. And then this one here, Holy Secret, how it cleanses. The secret is Christ in us, or that wonderful Savior gospel. All the heart, it cleanses all the heart from self and sin. So sometimes Simpson felt, I got a dirty heart and I got a dirty self, you know. And he cleansed by God, crying out the power of evil. Where in the world is it? Power of evil by the life of Christ within. The evil was right here. He wanted to have the Lord be always in the driver's seat, the president, the king. So sin will not reign. God can help us with that one moment at a time. Very committed to that. John Newton, last testimony. He wrote Amazing Grace. This is his post-conversion testimony. So this is years after he said, I need Jesus. He said, I ask the Lord to grow so I might grow in faith, in love, and every grace. Instead, God made me feel the hidden evils of my heart. And angry powers of hell attack my soul at every part. But God said, it's in this way I answer prayer for grace and faith. These inward trials will set you free from self and pride. Because we see other. That rascal needs to be, you know, counted as dead. Like, you go to that funeral and have the resurrection of new life with Christ. And this was a convicting phrase here. And break your scheme of selfish joy. I was thinking, I hope I don't follow Jesus just so I can feel joy, you know. I mean, that's what it's all about, right? Just so I'm happy at this moment. Do you ever feel that way? Break the scheme of selfish joy to say, well, we want to honor God and see other people joyful. And then there'll be plenty of joy to pass around. Until you seek your all in me, Newton said. We seek all our all in God. And you know, we'll surrender to God or we'll surrender to sin. Okay, because the sin is there. You can't eradicate it until heaven. But Christ dwells within. He's king. He's more powerful. And a warning another preacher gave, he said, remember, you and I are cut off from the help of the law. The law can't save us. In this boat, it can only say, whoa, God is good and you need Christ. We stand powerless before God and in need of help. And get away from any hope of in your own nature. More about surrender and trust, less about self-effort. As Spurgeon put it this way, he said, abandon all hope in yourself and call on Christ to rescue you this moment. And moment by moment. And God, isn't God wonderful? He's available. And call on him and he'll help us. The Apostle Paul, you know, as authentic as he was in Romans 7, he didn't walk around saying, Jesus hardly did anything for me or with me. I just was a crumb-bum sinner from now all the way to heaven. He said, well, I know God is greater than the sin within. And he's great. And so, as an old song says, Lord, you rescued me, and every day I'm rescued again. One last testimony from a fella, my friend Paul Tripp. He says this, get away from all hope in your own righteousness. Abandon the delusion that somehow you can measure up. You know, I measured up finally. We have nowhere to run except to the Lord, the wonderful, safe, strong Savior. He did what we cannot do. He is who we are not. And He would share His own life and goodness with us. You say, oh, He's so good. This little song that was sung honors the Lord and many that we sang today. So Paul concluded by saying this. He said, I'm wretched. Who's going to deliver me? Thanks be to God. Jesus can do it. Jesus can do it. If He could save you from hell, He could save you from, you know, the pain in the neck sin that's there. He overcomes within us. So you just put your trust in Him. Be patient with yourself. And especially be patient with your brothers and sisters, you know. Because if they wrote Romans 7, you know, don't kick them out of the church. You know, make them an elder. Make them an apostle, you know. That's how what the Lord did. So let's pray together. Lord, thank you for being greater than sin, and yet the sin survives, but we're not overwhelmed by it, but we know you're greater than the penalty and power of it. And Jesus, we surrender to you just moment by moment. We take an inventory of our soul on a regular basis, and we say, Lord, bring forgiveness, bring obedience, bring the following of Jesus. Jesus, be yourself in us as we go. Hear our silent prayers, Lord. It's a time of surrendering to you. No reason why it can't be a fantastic day, week, month, year of obeying Jesus and saying, I know in me there's a lot of sin, but Christ is bigger. And he gives me overcoming from His care. Just hear our silent prayers.